Sally, go ahead and ask me any questions you want to. I don't have any opening statement.
Okay, sounds good. Well, first, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on with Puerto Rico and their debt?
Yes, I can. But it's already decided because the bill passed the House and passed the Senate and now signed by the president. So what's going on is now the law of the land, and it basically sets up a restructuring board similar to what we did at least two precedents for Washington, D.C., maybe 15 years ago. And let's see, the other one was New York City, maybe 40 years ago. And this financial control board will study the fiscal situation and the tax situation for Puerto Rico. And if the legislature doesn't follow the advice of the financial control board, they will have the authority to put in place the fiscal policies or the spending policies and the tax policies that they recommended for the legislature. This is one way to force some very dramatic changes that need to be done in Puerto Rico. That part of it I support, but I ended up voting against it because I think it's going to lead to bankruptcy sooner than it should. And we have 17,000 Iowans that have money invested in bonds in Puerto Rico, and they could end up taking a haircut. And so it kind of bothered me that it's possible that even though there's fiscal irresponsibility in Puerto Rico, that their pension system could be kept at 100%, and so retirees in Puerto Rico would get their 100% retirement. But then people that are on retirement with these bonds in Iowa could take a haircut. And consequently, that's one of the main reasons I voted against it, because I think that we should have had more evidence of more responsible fiscal policy in Puerto Rico before bankruptcy would kick in.
And then switching gears here, you recently, along with a senator from Nebraska, introduced Sarah's Law. Can you tell our listeners what that law is?
Yeah. Well, Sarah's Law is named after a very tragic situation in Omaha for an Iowa girl who just graduated from a university in Nebraska. And that particular person was Sarah Root, so we call it Sarah's Law. And the basic law is that if you are involved as an illegal, as an undocumented worker, and you're involved in one of these accidents where there's a killing, and this lady was killed in an automobile accident by somebody who was three times the drunk driving limit, and he was three times drunk. He was illegally in the country and consequently killed this person. And then the Immigration Service didn't keep him in custody, and he's probably gone back to Honduras out on $50,000 bail, but it only cost him $5,000. And so this law would make sure that people in that situation are kept in federal custody.
And what's the next step for this law?
Well, it's just introduced, so it's got to go to committee and pass the House and Senate and signed by the president.
So it's very early in its stage as far
yeah.
as being considered.
Yeah, but it's got both senators from Iowa and both senators from Nebraska, and it's got the congressmen from the respective districts of Council Bluffs and Omaha.
And speaking about the senators from Iowa, along with yourself, is Joni Ernst, who has been meeting with Donald Trump. Do you have any remarks about the potential vice president selection for Trump as the Republican candidate?
Well, I don't think I got only one bit of advice for the presidential nominee, and this would be true of anybody, anytime. They ought to pick somebody that is specifically qualified to be president of the United States in case that the president would pass away. That's the number one requirement. There's a lot of other things you can take into consideration, but you want them to be qualified to be president. And so then consequently, you end up with people like Joni Ernst that was suggested to be there. That shouldn't surprise anybody. It shouldn't surprise anybody that she's going to give a major speech at the national convention, because she was picked after she was only a senator for two weeks to be the one to answer for the Republicans against the president's State of the Union message in 2015. So she's fully qualified, and she's going to speak on national defense issues at the convention, and it's very appropriate she do that, number one, because she's the first female combat veteran to be a member of the United States Senate. Secondly, she speaks well. Thirdly, she's involved very much in armed services policy here in the United States Senate and on the Armed Services Committee. So I think that they did a good job in picking somebody like her to fill in there.
And would you support a Trump-Ernst ticket in November?
Well, I'm going to support a Trump ticket regardless of who's vice president, but it would sure add a lot of strength to it, particularly for those of us in Iowa, if Joni Ernst was on that ticket.
And in closing, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners before I let you go?
Yeah. I think one thing would be something I wouldn't expect you to be on top of, but yesterday, after the House and the Senate several weeks ago passed opioid bills because of the opioid epidemic, that we got a bill out of committee on opioid, and we hope to get it through the House and Senate before we adjourn for the national conventions. And let me start over again with kind of explaining the situation. The situation is the two houses pass different bills, and so then you have to have a conference committee to work out the difference between the House and Senate. So on the opioid bill, we did that yesterday, and we did it in a way where we got a very, very strong bill. The Republican Congress, over the last 2 years, has put 114% more into opioid addiction. The Democrats, when they controlled the Congress, they didn't even bring the bill up. It was very high on my priority when I was chairman of the Judiciary Committee to move it out of committee. We got it through the Senate with only one dissenting vote, and I hope we can get the conference report now. It's got to go through the Senate again and get this bill to the president, because 43,000 people lost their lives because of opioid addiction. And connected with that is also the heroin addiction that follows on, sometimes because heroin is cheaper than opioid pharmaceuticals.
All right. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us.
Yeah, thank you very much. Goodbye.